Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with the sugya of Yehareg Ve'al Yavor. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. Maseh Bedam Echad, Shenatan Einav B'Isha Achat. This individual became infatuated with this woman, Ve'ela Libotina. And then his heart had some problem. Rashi says that his heart was clogged, or he became sickened by the infatuation, to the point where he was on his bed, and he wasn't able to get up anymore. Went and inquired of the doctors. The only solution to the problem is that he has biyah with this woman. That's the only way to remove this issue. He should die and not have biyah. So now, the question as to why it is that the chachamim were pushing against this, but obviously you can imagine if she was an eshet ish, obviously it would be an issue, although there is an alternate opinion. Tamod lifanav aruma. Okay, no biyah. At least have her come naked before him. Chazal again say yamut. He has to give up his life, and she can't come naked before him. Tisaper imo miachorei agader. She should speak to him from behind the fence. Yamut, velo tisaper imo miachorei agader. He should die and not speak to him from the other side of the fence. Here you have a supposed halachic psak with regards to Hareg Valyavor, that this individual, we say to him that he's going to have to lose his life rather than to have to violate the Isur of Arayot. Now that's true at least in the first stage when you're speaking about Arayot, and you can even classify that in the second stage, which is to have her come naked before him is unbecoming or something that we would not consider. But to speak to him from behind the fence, why wouldn't we consider that to be a violation that is worthwhile in order to save this individual's life? And we say, Yehareg Valyavor, that is that these cardinal sins you can't violate in order to help someone out, and that includes refuah, that includes medicinal cures, that the Gemara in Psachim says, B'chol mitrapim, you're allowed to get refuah, chutz, min avodah zarah. You can't use any of these three cardinal sins to provide medicinal cures. And so here too, Arayot is precluded from providing those medicinal cures. But here we're beyond Arayot. So you could argue that these are just a sniff Arayot. These are things that are just adjunct to the Arayot, to the main Easter of Arayot, so they're all included. But it seems a little bit far-fetched to say that Yamut Vayit Tisaper Imo Me'achorei Hageder. So here, Pligi Bar Rav Akiv Bar Idei Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Chanamar Eshet Ish Hayta. One of them said she was a married woman. So that, of course, wouldn't have serious ramifications. Why Loti Bael? Because she's an Eshet Ish. Can't expect her to have biyah with this individual if she's an eshet ish. You can't expect her to walk naked in front of him if she's an eshet ish. Chadamar pnuya haita. The other one says she was single. So here it's much harder to understand why they wouldn't help out this individual. Bishlam adamandamar eshet ish haita shapir. Okay, I understand the issue. Adamandamar pnuya haita maikulei. She's a single woman. Papa amar mishum pegam mishpacha. Papa says because it would be a embarrassment, a problem for the family. This would cause the family's yichus to be questioned and all sorts of other aspersions be cast upon them because of this incident. And therefore, we don't allow it because of Pgam Mishpacha. V'acha b'rei d'Ravika amar k'dei sh'lo yehi b'not Yisrael putzot b'arayot. That is so that the Jewish women will not be considered putzot, promiscuous in nature. The way Rashi affirms over here is, that they should be parading in front of the men in order that the men should get a glimpse at them, and then they'll be attracted to them and then want to have biyah with them. The whole incident is unbecoming. Let's put it that way. The Gemara is going to go on and explain something. I just make a couple of notes over here. The first of which is that the Gemara might be focused on, I would say, a veiled criticism of the medical world. At first, the medicinal cure that is given is he has to sleep with her, otherwise he's just not going to recover, he's going to die from this illness. And the chachamim come and give the psak, no way, there's no biyah, and it's not going to happen. Then they say, oh, well, if she walks naked in front of him, that'll be okay. You said before that the only solution was that he has biyah with her. All of a sudden they say no biyah, they find another solution. So that in one way might be a veiled criticism of the medical world, that they say something, and then when you push back on them, all of a sudden they come up with another answer. In that way, the Chachamim are saying, for us to contravene halacha for medical purposes, you have to really be sure that there's a real medical need over here, and the medicine has to be honest about these issues. And what they're showing is, by pushing back on them, all of a sudden they change their mind or they offer alternatives. So I think that might be a little possibility of what's happening here. In addition, I think that they are trying to be goder, which the last statement says over here, be'arayot, that even if this person's ill, so certain parts of this are clear why you can't do them. Bi'ah is something beyond the pale. It's arayot. You have to give up your life for arayot. So there's no question whether she's an eshadish or whether even if she's a pnuya, neither of those are considered to be viable options. For her to walk naked, again, if she's a married woman, it's completely unbecoming. It's completely beyond the pale. Even if she's single, it's something that you wouldn't be tenable. Speaking to her from Bachoreya Ged there, that's the one that is the most far-fetched. In their day, you have to know that the moors of society were different, and that something like this would be considered to be breaking barriers or boundaries in terms of tzniut. So that's one issue. The second issue is what the Gemara is saying over here, Shalom Benotiso Putot Barayot. People shouldn't put themselves into positions or come into sicknesses of a sexual nature, because we're not going to feed into this problem by allowing this to be cured. I mean, if you feed into the problem, everybody's going to all of a sudden find themselves on their bed sick, you know, looking to speak to this woman or to be together with this woman. It leads to a bad outcome, and Chazal is trying to stem the problem from the beginning, which would mean here that it's less about Yehareg V'Yavor and more about the issue of, we don't want this type of promiscuous type of behavior to take place in society. We don't want people thinking in this way. And that might be what they're saying over here, Shalom Benot Yisro Putzot Barayot. The Gemara does say here that if she's single, Linsva Minzav, why doesn't he just get married to her? If she's single, they can get married. Lo Maitva Date. That would not cure the problem. That would not settle his mind. Kid Rav Yitzchak, like the member of Yitzchak, found at the end of the Gemara Nidarim as well. Damar Rav Yitzchak, Yom Shechara Beit HaMikdash, Nidlatam Bia, Nidna Dovrei Avera. From the time that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the pleasure derived from Biyah was taken away from permissible Biyah and given to those that are violators, those that are involved in illicit relationships. So it's an interesting idea, again, about the Churban Beit HaMikdash. We say this on the night of Tisha B'Av with some of the keynote that we say then, that there are cosmological impacts of the Churban HaBayit. The Churban HaBayit is not just a local issue in terms of the Churban itself. It has broader ramifications. It affected the constellations. It affected the fruits in Eretz Yisrael. It affected Biyah as well. I mean, that the implications are much more far-reaching than we ever think. And here is one of those things, which is that Atal Tanam Biyah, that was taken away, Bisman Churban HaMikdash. Rashi says, Kashala Koach, that it is a weakened people, Midagot Rabot, from all the difficulties and worries that people have. Bein Ruach Kama Be'ish, Liota Evelishto. And people can't muster up that strength to have that desire for their wives. The Fikach Natal Tam Biyah. So Rashi doesn't see it as a direct result of the Churban HaBayit, therefore Tam Biyah was taken away, but rather as an effect of the Churban HaBayit, is that people now have a harder time making ends meet, have a harder time living their lives. The more difficult their lives are, the less strength and share of mind that they can put towards this biyah, and therefore they're less engaged. And that's what causes this weakness. But it was given to the Ovrei Avera, which is the Yetzara, grabs them and increases their ta'ava. Shenemar, and they bring the pasuk in Mishlei, Mayim Gnuvim Imtaku, stolen waters are sweet. The lechem starim yinam, and the hidden bread is pleasant. As Rashi notes over here, that the second half of the pasuk of lechem starim is like the pasuk found by Yosef, where he says, "Eshet Potifar, lishnam alya, it's euphemistic in nature, kamo kim et alechem asher hu ochel." That Yosef says that my master, Potifar, has given me control of everything except the lechem asher hu ochel, the bread that he eats, which is referring to his wife. And so it's a euphemistic term, and so too over here. The lechem starim, the hidden bread, or the bread that's off limits, inam is the pleasant bread. So this idea that stolen waters are much sweeter, and that the Gemara Nidarim also uses as to why a person would want to keep it undercover, that they are having a relationship with this woman, rather than just disclose it and walk off with the woman, because of the fact that Maim duvim, im taku, it's much sweeter to have stolen waters. So that's exactly what's happening over here, that the forbidden fruit is the most delicious, or captures the eye of the individual. And so here, if he marries her, it takes away all of that excitement that surrounds it. Again, the answer of the Gemara here seems to lean towards this not being as real an issue as you would have thought, because the fact is that he doesn't need to really have bi'ah with this woman. It's the fact of the illicit nature of the bi'ah, which is causing the problem and which needs to be solved. And therefore, the Chachamim are unwilling to feed into that because of the negative ramifications of feeding into such a concept that people's illicit desires should somehow be fulfilled, and that's going to help us out in this situation. So I think, again, there, that's indicative of the difficulty in the situation and why Chazal were unwilling to allow anything to take place or any cure to take place in this situation. I would also note that we saw earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Samech Dalet, about the fact that the Anshei Knesset Agdolah took away the desire for Arayot. And this might be, I think, a side effect of that, which is, when they took away the desire for Arayot, we saw the problems that arose from that. And to the end, they only blinded the Yetzirah for Arayot. They didn't take away completely, so that people would still be engaged in normal sexual activity, which is productive in nature. That's both for the animals to reproduce, for them to lay eggs, and for human beings to procreate, but they left that intact. This could be a side effect of that, which is the same thing, that when they reduced the Yetzer for Arayot, that also took down the Yetzer even between a husband and wife. Not that it went away completely, but it was reduced, and it was the one Yetzer that's left is this idea of these illicit relationships. That's the one place where the Arayot are manifest, not in relatives, but in illicit relationships with a married woman or with women that are off limits. So I would add that as possibly being another way to explain the kashal, that the Yetzahara, Bizman Bechuban Abayit, that Natan Tam Biyav, Nitnal Ovrei Avera, that it might be possibly associated with that as well. Alright, with that we end the Perek Ben Sorer Umoreh, Hadran Alach Ben Sorer Umoreh. So, we have been in the last two Prakim dealing with the Arba Mitot Beit Din. We started out in the Perek before that to describe what the four Mitot Beit Din were. And then they took one of the Mitot and they went through it, which was Skila. That's what led us down the path of dealing with all of these items. Because all these individuals were subject to the punishment of Skila. I gave you a list. And then we went back over each one of them to explicate on each one. Now we are moving on to the other death penalties, which is Ve'eluhein and Nisrafim. These are the people that are subject to a penalty of burning or by the fire, which, again, we described earlier, how that punishment is executed. Here we have the list of people who are subject to Sreifa. Abal Ishal Bita, person who has a relationship with a woman and her daughter. Ubat Kohen Zizinta, Bat Kohen we've discussed numerous times because of the different issues that arose before, but it's a Bat Kohen that has note, and we had the different views within the Tanaim, at what stage of her being a Bat Kohen, whether it's a Ktana, Nara Murasa, or even a Nisua, she's subject to that penalty of Sreifa. Yesh Bichlal Usha Bita. There are derivatives or toladot of Isha Bita. Again, we're going to go through this in much more detail, so I'm just running through it because the Gemara is going to expend the entire time on trying to understand this Mishnah. So Isha Bita have derivatives, which is Bito, Ubat Bito, his daughter, and his granddaughter through his daughter, Ubat Bino, and his granddaughter through his son, Ubat Ishto, and the daughter of his wife, Ubat Bita, and the granddaughter of his wife through her daughter, Ubat Bina, and the granddaughter of his wife through her son. Now here, you seem to seemingly have a duplicative list, which is, speaks about his daughter, and then it speaks about his wife's daughter. Of his wife's daughter, then you would have assumed that it is also his daughter. The answer that the Gemara is going to give is that you have three different ways in which you can have this relationship of father and daughters. One way is just a normal marriage. And then you have a normal marriage, then they are both your daughter and your wife's daughter. And that is incorporated in this as well. There are other two manifestations. One is a case of rape or seduction, in which there is no marriage. The child is the daughter of that father, but he does not marry to that woman. So there's a possibility of him being the father of the child without it being the child of his wife, because he wasn't married to the woman that gave birth to this child. So that's what we call bito mi anusato. His daughter of is a product of rape, where there was no marriage, and therefore it's his daughter, not his wife's daughter. Those will be subsumed under the cases of bito, bat bito, and bat bino. Now, the other possibility is what you suggested, which is stepdaughters, which is that the woman has children from another marriage and then marries him. So now she is his wife. These are the children of his wife, but they are not his children. So that's the three different scenarios, and they're covered by the two lists that we have here. One that listed through his wife, and one that listed through him. They capture all three of these scenarios. Chamuto, it includes his mother-in-law, ve'im chamuto, the mother of his mother-in-law, ve'im chamiv, and the mother of his father-in-law. All of these are subsumed under the category of sreifa, and they are subsets of isha ubita, which the Gemara right away will ask. Haba alisha shenasa bita loktani. The Mishnah doesn't frame it in the following manner, which is what you would have expected. Which is that a person who has relationship with a woman, who he is married to her daughter. He's married to the daughter, therefore the woman is the daughter's mother or his mother-in-law, and that would be the restriction. You would understand that. If the Mishnah wrote that, it would be very understandable. He's married to one woman. The woman's mother is off limits to him. So now if he has a relationship, alisha, with a woman whose daughter he's married to, that results in sreifa. But that's not what our Mishnah says. Ella, habalisha ubita. It says in our Mishnah that he has a relationship with the mother and the daughter. Michlau, the tarvayu li surah. That they're both restricted to him. How do you have a scenario in which both women are restricted to him if he's not married to either woman? You could have understood it in either direction. He's married to a woman, and then he has a relationship with her mother. Or he's married to a woman, has a relationship with the daughter. In both those instances, the second relationship would be restricted because he's married to the woman, and then the mother-in-law or daughter off limits. Over here, the Mishnah on the outset says he has a relationship with a mother and daughter, and they are both restricted to him. How do you have a case where the mother and daughter are both restricted to him if he's not married to either one of them? So that's the Gemara's question. Umaninu, where do you have a scenario like that? The Gemara answers, chamuto ve'im chamuto. It's his mother-in-law and his mother-in-law's mother. They are both off limits to him. That is isha ubita. That's a woman and her daughter. And they are both restricted to him because he's married to the daughter and granddaughter of these women, and therefore they are both restricted to him. Viktani, yesh bichlal isha ubita. So now it says afterwards in the Mishnah, subsumed under isha ubita, subsumed under this heading are the remainder of these individuals. Michlau, ditarvayu k'tivei be'edja. That implies that mother-in-law and mother and mother-in-law are explicit in the psukim, and everything else is a derivative or learned from this. V'hanach midrasha atyo. Those derive from a drasha. Chamuto and im chamuto are not directly addressed in the Torah. They come through a drasha. So now you're telling me, isha ubita in our Mishnah means chamuto and im chamuto means mother-in-law and mother of mother-in-law, because that's why they're both illicit up front when he has biyah with them. But then you're telling me that those are the avot, the paradigms by which we learn all the others that come under them, the subsets or the toladot that come under them. But those two aren't even written in the Torah for you to tell me now that they're going to be the general principle under which all everything else is subsumed. So anicho de Abaye. That works well for Abaye, the Amar, because he brings down mashmaut doshim ika benayu, a machloket between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel in explaining a braita that is upcoming. Matnita and Mani, the author of our Mishnah, will be Rabbi Akiva. That'll be Rabbi Akiva. So Abaye can solve the problem because he has an author that has such a concept. I'll explain this in 1 second. Elo the Rova d'Amar Chamuto l'achar mitayika benayu. The machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel with regards to the meaning of the Braita. Over there he says there is a halachic nafkamina between them, which is a mother-in-law after the death of his wife. Matnita and Mani. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Amar l'cha Rava, the only solution Rava can come up with is Tnei. Imen the Mishnah to read Abal Isha Shenasa Bita. Person has a relationship with a woman whose daughter he is married to, which was the Gemara's suggestion up front. Why doesn't the Mishnah have this? In the end, Rava says you're going to have to amend the Mishnah to read that way, because otherwise I can't make sense of this. All right, let's take a step back and understand the machloket between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and then we'll go beyond that to try to understand the next part of the Gemara is going to bring a braita, and then that braita, the Gemara is going to spend the rest of today breaking it down and discussing it. So firstly, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are dealing with a pasuk, which we're going to repeat often today, is a pasuk found in Parshat Kedoshim. Remember, when it comes to the Arayot, the warning of the Arayot are found in Parshat Achrayimot in Perek Yud Chet. The punishments are found in Perek Chof of Vayikra, which is Parshat Kedoshim. So here we have a pasuk in Parshat Kedoshim, which says the following. V'ish asher yikachet isha ve'et ima. An individual takes a woman and her mother. Zimahi. That is illicit. Ba'ish yisrufu. They should be put to death by fire. Oto, he, ve'ethen. That word ve'ethen is what the machloket Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva about is. What is the meaning of the word ethen? Similarly, the simple way to read the word is them, both of them, which is problematic. V'lo tiyeh zima betochechem. So that there is no illicit relations or problematic relations amongst you. So the problem in this pasuk is the same problem we're having with our Mishnah is, the pasuk talks about isha ve'ima, a woman and her mother. Why is a woman and her mother illegal or illicit to him that it should result in oto, he, v'etan, and both of them being put to death? What did the woman he's married to do wrong over here? So that is the question. So Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva read that differently. Rabbi Shmuel reads the word etan over there to mean oto v'etachat mehem. He and one of them are subject to the death penalty. He bases it on the fact that the word hain in Greek means one. So what it means, oto ve'ethen, ethen means him and one of them. And that's the reading of the pasuk, that not both of them are subject to the penalty, only one of them. And that's easy to understand. If he marries the daughter and then sleeps with the mother, then he and the mother are problematic. The daughter is not the problem over there. That is Rabbi Shmuel's reading of the pasuk. In that case, the only thing that is deemed illicit in this pasuk is mother-in-law. And that's what the Gemara was saying before. Where do you find mother-in-law and mother of mother-in-law written explicitly? According to Rabbi Shmuel's explanation, this is according to Abaye, then there is no mother of mother-in-law mentioned in this pasuk. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, Otov et shtehen. Eten means the both of them. That's the simple way to read the pasuk. And he says that he will be put to death along with both of them. What is the scenario where both of them are put to death? That is actually what the Gemara just suggested as the explanation of our Mishnah, which is, it's Isha v'ima. The Isha over here is his mother-in-law. V'ima is the mother of the mother-in-law. And that's why they're all put to death. They're put to death, oto, because he has an illicit relationship with his mother-in-law, or the mother of his mother-in-law. Eten, they are put to death because this individual is married to their daughter or granddaughter, and therefore they're both off-limits. That explanation of the pasuk is now being suggested as the Gemara. According to Abaye, in Rabbi Akiva's position, he could be the author of a Mishnah. Because, according to Rabbi Akiva, Chamuto and Eim Chamuto are explicit in the Pasuk. They are the reading of Isha V'ima in the Pasuk. And therefore, he could be the author of a Mishnah who says that Isha Bita, that the Mishnah notes over here, is really his mother-in-law and mother of mother-in-law. And that is explicit in the Pasuk. And from that, you could learn all the other cases from. So Abaye has an easy way to explain this Mishnah by saying Rabbi Akiva is the author. The problem is for Rova. Rova, who says that the position of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva revolves around whether one is chayav for affair with a mother-in-law after the death of the daughter, after the death of the wife of that individual. They have the same reading, which as Rabbi Shmuel says, oto bet pain, him and one of them. So Rabbi Shmuel says, even if only one of the two parties is alive, the individual will still be chayav. Both instances where she is his mother-in-law, she will be put to death, and so will he, and that is irrespective of whether the daughter is still alive. If he's married to the daughter and she's alive, it's problematic. If he was married to the daughter, she passed away, the mother-in-law is still off limits. It means both his mother-in-law while his wife is alive, and his mother-in-law after his wife passes away. For Rabbi Akiva, he reads Rabbi Akiva saying, Oto v'et shtehen, he and both of them are put to death. According to Rova, the explanation of Rabbi Akiva's position is the following. For Rabbi Akiva, it says, Oto v'chtehen. They both must be alive in order for him to be chayav. So that means that only when his wife or the daughter is alive is there a restriction against the illicit affair with the mother-in-law that will result in sreifa and is covered by the pasuk that we're speaking about. But in a scenario where his wife or the daughter is passed away, then an affair with the mother-in-law is not subject to sreifa, but rather isur ba'alma. Now that isur ba'alma is a machloket Rashi and the Rambam as to what that means. Rashi says isur ba'alma means an isur lav, whereas the Rambam says that it's an isur karet. But in that scenario, according to Rava, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva believe that Eim Chamudo is not mentioned in the Pasuk. Pasuk speaking about a mother-in-law. The only question in the Pasuk is the restriction on the mother-in-law when the daughter or the wife is still alive, or even after Mitah? For Rabbi Shmuel, it's even after Mitah, because if either party is alive, then it's still in effect, which means that the restriction on mother-in-law applies even when the daughter has passed away. And for Rabbi Akiva, it's only b'chtehem. Only when both are alive is there a restriction that results in sreifa. If it's not that they're both alive, then there's no restriction of chamuto that results in sreifa. Just ends up being a isur. What type of isur? We just said it's machloket rishonim. But according to Rava now, you have no Tana that believes that b'ema chamuto in the pasuk, and they both have to learn it out of a drasha. And so therefore, for Rava, neither one of these Tanaim can be the author of the Mishnah. So according to him, how's he going to explain the Mishnah? Who's the author of the Mishnah? The answer in the end for Rav is, he doesn't. He doesn't have a Tana. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't fit. Rabbi Akiva doesn't fit. The only thing that fits is he mending the Mishnah, and that's what the Gemara says Rav does. He says in the end, the Mishnah should read, Habal Isha Shenatsa Bita. Person has a relationship with a woman who is married to her daughter, meaning that the daughter is not the problem, it's the mother-in-law, and mother-in-law is found explicitly in the Pesukim. We just read that Pasuk. Alright, that is the end of this part of the Gemara. Yesh b'chlal isha ubita chamuto ve'im chamuto ve'im chamiv. And then the Mishnah says that subsumed under isha bita is chamuto ve'im chamiv. So now, the baye, I did the kai badi mitne im chamiv. The Mishnah, the only thing there we don't know from the psukim according to a baye in Rabbi Kiva's position is im chamiv, the mother of his father-in-law. So tana nami chamuto ve'im chamuto. Even though the definition of now, according to this, of Isha Bita is Chamuto and Eim Chamuto, nevertheless the Mishnah repeated them because it had to add in Eim Chamiv. So even though Isha Bita really means mother-in-law and mother of mother-in-law, and then the Mishnah goes on to say, subsumed under mother-in-law and mother of mother-in-law are mother-in-law and mother of mother-in-law, but adds on one additional item, which is mother of father-in-law. So because it had to repeat it for that reason, it mentions them even though it's unnecessary. The Rava, I need to go by the mitna Eim Chamiv, the Eim Chamuto. For Rava, the two items that are not found in the Psukim are the mother of the mother-in-law and the mother of the father-in-law. Taninami Chamuto. It mentioned Chamuto, which is the case of Isha Ubita, according to him, which is referencing to a mother-in-law. Therefore, it is mentioned again, even though it's already in the general principle that you are trying to learn from. The next brother Gemara is going to introduce a Braita that's going to deal with an issue that is brought up because of the psukim. We read one of the psukim already, which is ish sheikach et isha vet ima. Person who takes a woman and her mother, they are subject to the punishment of sreifa. So we saw already there are different explanations as to who are the people mentioned here, the isha and the ima, but here you have the penalty of sreifa. We have two other psukim where we have certain issues that come up, as well as to what the punishment is. The first one is ervat. Bat pincha u bat pitcha lo tegaleh, ervatan ki ervatcha heina. It's a pasuk that restricts an individual from having a relationship with his granddaughter, whether that granddaughter comes to his son, whether that granddaughter comes to his daughter. What is absent in that pasuk is daughter. Daughter is not mentioned in the pasuk. All that is mentioned is daughter of daughter and daughter of son. So you'll say it's a kal v'chomer. He's restricted in his daughter's daughter. Of course he's restricted in his daughter. You are right. The Kal V'chomer would say that. But we have a principle. Ein Onshin Min Adin. So then we can't punish based on that. And possibly Ein Mazirin Min Adin. So if you don't have a lav and you don't have an onish, then you're not going to end up giving out a penalty. So if you want a penalty, you're going to have to come up with a different way to figure out how daughter is brought back in, since it's not mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. But then we have another pasuk, which is ervat isha ubita lo tigaleh. a woman and her daughter you may not have a relationship with, et bat bina, ved bat bita, as well as with her granddaughter through her son or granddaughter through her daughter. Lo tikach la galoter bata, you may not take any of these individuals, which will be an exposure of erva, sharaheina zimahi. They are relatives, they are she'er, and therefore it's considered to be illicit or inappropriate. So that pasuk has actually what we were looking for that was missing in the previous pasuk. Over here it says, bat, and bat ben, and bat habat. So there it has both the daughter and the granddaughters mentioned. The only problem is, it's about a woman and her daughter, implying that it's not your daughter. And that's the scenario that we spoke about before, which is this pasuk references to a stepdaughter and step-granddaughters. So we have a pasuk about stepdaughter and step-granddaughters that tell you that they are problematic, but we have a pasuk that says the person's daughter or the person's granddaughters, there we have granddaughters, no daughter mentioned. Again, you could argue it's a kal vachomer. If the stepdaughter is restricted, certainly the daughter should be restricted as well. But again, that doesn't help us because kal vachomer will not end up with a punishment. So the missing piece of the puzzle here is bat, his daughter. How does he have a daughter that is not his wife's daughter? That's the scenario we spoke about before, which is bito me anusato. It's a possibility that it's a daughter or granddaughter is born through a rape case or a case of seduction, as well as the possibility that you raised as well, which is the possibility that he divorced his first wife, and therefore they are his daughters, but not his wife's daughters because she's no longer his wife. Over there, you could argue that the time they were born, they were his wife's daughters and they would be restricted. But now we're missing daughter. The other thing that we don't have is Aim Chamiv that is mentioned in the Mishnah, the mother of his father-in-law, as well as possibly Aim Chamuto, the mother of his mother-in-law, which the Mishnah mentions as restricted, that are not mentioned in the Psukim, with the exception of Rabbi Akiva's position according to Abaye. One more issue, which is that those two arayot, the arayot of his daughter and granddaughters, as well as his wife's daughter and granddaughters, the Torah doesn't give any punishment for them. It tells you that they are restricted, but doesn't tell us what the punishment is. So that's another missing piece of the puzzle that the Braita will deal with and discuss these issues that we just raised in the Psukim. So now we have the Braita. Menahane Mile. Where do we know these dinim from? The Tanur Banan. We have a Braita. Ish asher yikach et isha vet ima, ein li ela isha v'ima. I only have a woman and her mother. Bat isha, ubat bita, ubat mina, minayin. How do I know about the daughter of a woman, the granddaughter of a woman, whether it's to a son or a daughter? Nemar kan zima, nemar lahalan zima. It uses the word zima here, and it uses the zima before. Malalan bita, ubat bita, ubat bina. Afkan bitau bat bitau bat bina. So we have a gzeirah shavah. We've actually bumped into this gzeirah shavah previously, both in Seder Nashim as well as in Sanhedrin. But since you have a gzeirah shavah of zima zima, the gzeirah shavah zima zima says that the pasuk that we quoted before in Parshat Kedoshim that has sreifa mentioned there also has the word zima. The pasuk that we brought down about a wife's daughter and a wife's granddaughter, that they are off limits, there it also mentions the word zima. And what the Braita is suggesting, again, the Gemara is going to go into this in more detail, is that that zima, zima, that gezeirah shavah teaches you that the punishment met out to a woman and her mother, in that scenario, will also be met out to a woman and the daughter, woman and the granddaughter, in those illicit relationships, because of the zima, zima. So I said before the psukim about daughters and stepdaughters don't have any punishment associated with them. This braita solves one of those problems and tells you the punishment of sreifa that is said by a mother-in-law now has application also to the case of a woman and her daughter and a woman and her granddaughters. Minayin lasot zicharim mikenekebot. This is more cryptic in nature and we'll wait for the Gemara to explain this. How do you know that the males are just like the females? Nemar kan zima, nemar lahalan zima. It says zima here, it says zima later on. Malalan zicharim kenekevot, avkan zicharim kenekevot. Just like over there, zicharim, males are no different than females. So to over here, males are no different than females. That's a cryptic statement which the Gemara will interpret. Minayin lasot lamata kilamala. How do I know to make that which is below the same as above? Nemer kan zima, v'nemer lahalan zima. Mala lamata kelamala. Just like over there, below is like above. Afkan lamata kelamala. So to over here, below is like above. Makan lamala kelamata. And just like over here, above is like below. Aflalan, so too over there, lamala kelamata, above is like below. Again, a very cryptic statement. Gemara will explicate on it. Amar Mar, you see the Gemara already going back now to break down the Braita. Minayin lasod zicharim kenekevot. What does it mean that you want to make the zicharim kenekevot? What's the meaning of that statement? My zicharim kenekevot. Ilem abat bino kibat bita. If you want to tell me that a granddaughter through a son is similar to a granddaughter through a daughter, badei adodi ka'atyon. They are learnt from the same limud, which is the limud that teaches us that there is a punishment of sreifa for a stepdaughter and a step-granddaughter. The pasuk explicitly mentions bat bina and bat bita. You don't need a limud from a braita to teach you that a granddaughter through a son has the same status as a granddaughter through a daughter. That's explicit in the pasuk. And if you have a gzer shava of zima zima, then the punishment of sreifa is going to apply to that pasuk across the board. That means bat bina and bat bita are already captured by the gzer shava. Ella, em chamiv ke'em chamuto. It's coming to teach you that the mother of the father-in-law has the same status as the mother of the mother-in-law. Mother of father-in-law we don't have in the psukim, not according to Rabbi Shmuel for sure, who doesn't even have mother of mother-in-law in the pasuk, but even according to Rabbi Akiva, Lefi Abaye, who says that there is Eim Chamuto mentioned in the pasuk, there is certainly no Eim Chamiv. There is no mother of father-in-law that's mentioned in the pasuk. Hashto, Gemara says, Eim Chamuto lo kamalan. First of all, Eim Chamuto was not even clear that we know that that's the case. Where do you have mother of mother-in-law in the Pesukim? With the exception of Baya, according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't even know where that's found. Eim Chamiv Ma'adarala? The Braita doesn't even give you how you have a source for a mother of mother-in-law. Now it's going to tell you, well, mother of mother-in-law is Asur, then certainly you should learn to a mother of the father-in-law that it's also Asur. But you have to get the base case first. How do you know mother of mother-in-law is restricted? So Amar Abaye. Abaye offers the first solution to this problem, which is Chachi Kamar. This is what is meant over here. Minayin lasot she'er haba mimenu kesher haba mimena. How do we know to make his offspring, or his close of kin, to have the same din as her close of kin? Nemar kan zima, but nemar lahalan zima. It says zima over here, and it says zima over there. Where it says, v'hab sher didei lo tiva bezima. What are you talking about? The pasuk that talks about his close of kin doesn't mention at all the word zima. This goes back to what we discussed before, which are the psukim in Parshat Achrimot. What the Gemara is now suggesting is a solution to the problem that we noted before in the psukim in Achrimot. The psukim in Achrimot spoke about a stepdaughter and step-granddaughters. The psukim about his daughter, no mention of daughter, just mentions his granddaughters. We said the word daughter, the daughter was absent. So the Gemara is saying, according to Abaye, what the Braita is saying is that we can learn out daughter from stepdaughter. It says zima here, it says zima there. We'll equate the two, and now we're all good. Everything's great. We have gzeir shava that teaches you, just like stepdaughters are restricted, so is daughter. What's the gzeir shava? Zima, zima. You look at the pasuk about his granddaughters, the word zima never appears. It says, ervat bat bincha ubat bincha lo tegale ervatan ki ervatcha heina. No mention of zima. And that's the Gemara's question right now. V'habashir didei lo tiva be zima. In his she'er, the word zima never appears. Amarova, Amarli Rav Yitzchak Bar Dumi, Acha Heina Heina, Acha Zima Zima. It is actually a double gzer shovel. Again, we've seen this double gzer shovel before, which is the word Heina also is part of the gzer shovel. We just read that pasuk about his granddaughters. At the end of that pasuk, it says, Ke ervatcha Heina. That's the word Heina. In the pasuk about stepdaughter and step-granddaughters, the pasuk ends, Shara Heina Zimahi. So what the Gemara now is saying, that word Heina, that is found by the stepdaughter and step-granddaughters, will be Gzeir Shova to the Heina, that is Ervatcha Heina, that is found by his granddaughters. And that Gzeir Shova will teach us, just like by step-granddaughters, the stepdaughter is also restricted, so too by granddaughters, the daughter will also be restricted. So that's how we learn out daughter from that gzera shava. The punishment of Srefa then will be from Zima, Zima. The word Zima that appears in the Pasuk about stepdaughter and stepgranddaughters, Sharahina Zimahi, and the word Zima that appears in Parshat Kedoshim about Isha V'ima, that they have Srefa, it says there, Zimahi, that Gzer Sheva teaches you that Srefa applies. So now we've now joined in some sense all three of these Pasukim, which is teaching us, number one, daughter is restricted, that we learn out from the Gzer Sheva of Heina, Heina. Then the fact that the punishment should be Srefa for stepdaughters and stepgranddaughters and for a daughter and granddaughters, that comes from the Gzer Sheva of Zima, Zima. And that's the way to read the Braita, is the Charim refers to his offspring and the Keva refers to her offspring. And just like her offspring, daughter and stepdaughters are restricted and the punishment is Srefa, so too for him, his daughter and his granddaughters will be off limits and they will be subject to Srefa. That was the first cryptic line of the Braita now been explained. The second cryptic line of the Braita was Amarmar, Minayin Lasot, Lamata, Kilamala. How would you know that you can make that which is below like that which is above? My Lamata Kimala. What does it mean that which is below like above? Ilema, if you want to suggest, Bat Bina Ubat Bita, Kibita, that the step granddaughters have the same status as the daughter. That means that not only is a stepdaughter off limits, but also step-granddaughters are off limits. Lamata and Lamala here means, Lamata means the younger generation, Lamala means the older generation. So what you're suggesting is the step-granddaughters, Lamata, are just like the Mala, just like their mother, the stepdaughter. Dagmar says, Bade Hadade Katya. That is explicit in the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us that a stepdaughter and stepgranddaughters are off limits. And then the Gzer Shava, Zima Zima, says that they're all subject to the punishment of Srefa. You don't need another limud in the Braita to teach you that. It's all found in the Psukim and Gzer Shava. Ella, Eim Chamiv, Ve'eim Chamuto. Maybe it's going to tell you that the mother of the father-in-law and the mother of the mother-in-law, Ke Chamuto, are just like the mother-in-law. The only problem with that is, Hai Lamata Kilamala. You're calling that the lower generation, the younger generation is like the older generation? Lamala Kilamata, it's just the opposite. You're saying here that the older generation is just like the younger generation. Just like the mother-in-law is off limits, so too the mother of the mother-in-law and the mother and the father-in-law are off limits. That's an older generation. You should have phrased that in the Braita as just like Lamata, the mother-in-law is off limits, so too Lamala, the mother of the mother-in-law and the mother and the father-in-law are off limits. So the language of the Braita is opposite of what you would expect it if that's the limud you're looking for. So today, Lamala Kilamata. In Ochanami, emend the Braita to read that the Mala is like the Mata. The older generations are like the younger generation. The younger generation being the mother-in-law, older generation being the mother of the mother-in-law and the mother and the father-in-law. And the mother of the mother-in-law and the mother and father-in-law will be learnt or are just like Chamuto, mother-in-law. Iochi, what are you going to do this? Nemarkan Zima, Nerlan Halan Zima. It says Zima here and says Zima there. Mahashta in Elok Tiva. Over here it's not written. Zima Diduk Tiva. How can you have the word Zima associated with them? Here, Eim Chamuto and Eim Chamiv are never mentioned in the Psukim. The Braita says you learn out of Gzer Shava of Zima Zima. Okay, so we have mother-in-law and the word Zima appears there. But now you're saying, oh, there's a Gzer Shava from that Zima to another Zima that includes mother and mother-in-law and mother and father-in-law. Well, if mother and mother-in-law and mother and father-in-law are never explicitly mentioned in the Psukim, then how can you argue that there's a Gzer Shava of Zima Zima? The Gzer Shava only works if you're mentioned in the Psukim. So Amar Abaye, here's the first solution given by Abaye. Hachi Kamar. This is the way to read the Mishnah. And the way that Rashi notes over here is that Abaye is tipoch. He's flipping the language of the Braita. Minayin lasot, shlosha darot lamala, kishlosha darot lamata. How do you know that you make three generations above like three generations below? Three generations below. The first generation is the wife. The second generation is the stepdaughter. The third generation is the step-granddaughter. That is mentioned explicitly in the Psukim that we already have. Isha, Ubita, and Bat Bina, and Bat Bita. Those are three generations lemata, going down. How do we know that those three generations down below also apply to three generations going up? Three generations going up would be wife is the first generation, second generation would be mother-in-law or father-in-law, and then third generation would be mother of mother-in-law or mother of father-in-law or grandmother-in-law. So that's what the Braita is trying to determine here. Braita is trying to find the source for Eim Chamuto and Eim Chamiv, for the mother of the mother-in-law and the mother of the father-in-law. And what Abai says, the Braita suggests is, well, just like when you go down the generations, when you go down to the younger, there's three generations that are restricted. Woman, stepdaughter, step-granddaughter. So too, in the reverse direction, there'll be three generations of restriction, which will be woman, mother-in-law, mother of mother-in-law, and mother and father-in-law. Nemar the Mata Zima. It says by Pita, Bat Pita, and Bat Bina. It says the word Zima. But never the Malo Zima. And in Parshat Kedoshim, where it speaks about the punishment for these illicit relations, it says Isha V'ima, a woman and her mother. And there it mentions Zima as well. Malamata Shlosha Dorot. Just like by the Pasuk, by Achremot, by stepdaughter and stepgranddaughters, it includes three generations. After Malo Shlosha Dorot. So too, when you're going up in generations, you also include three generations. So now the Zima Zima happens to be a two-way bilateral gzereshova, which is that's teaching in both directions. Uma ba'onesh, sasalamata kalamalo, and just like by the punishment it makes the younger generation like the older generation, afbazara, so too in the warning, asalamala, make the older generations kalamata like the younger generations. So what Abai is suggesting is that we're missing information here. That missing information will be filled in by this gzereshova of Zima Zima. The one thing we're missing in terms of restriction is a restriction for Eim Chamuto and Eim Chamiv. We don't have mother and mother-in-law, mother and father-in-law. We don't have those restrictions mentioned in Parshei Akremot. That's a missing piece of information. The other piece of information we're missing is Bita, the woman, and Bita, stepdaughter and stepgranddaughters. There is a restriction Akremot, but there's no mention of a punishment in Kedoshim. So now, those are two pieces of information. How we'll solve both losses, both of those pieces of information is through a gzereshova of Zima Zima. And that gzereshova teaches you, just like the punishment for a woman and her mother-in-law is Sreifa, so too the punishment for a woman and her daughter and granddaughters will also be Sreifa. So that solves one problem for us, stepdaughters and stepgranddaughters. What is the punishment? The answer is Sreifa. Now we're looking for the restriction or the isur for mother of mother-in-law and mother and father-in-law. That will also be solved by the gzereshova of Zima Zima, which is just like by the warning, by the azhara, it says bita, bat bina, bat bita, stepdaughter and stepgranddaughter are off limits, three generations. Zima Zima teaches me that also by isha v'ima, by a woman and her mother, there will also be three generations, which means a woman, her mother, her mother's mother, and her father's mother. In that the mother-in-law, the mother of the mother-in-law, the mother of the father-in-law, those will also be all of restriction. And in that way, Abai now tells you the source or explains that part of the Braita. Again, you have to reverse the language of the Braita to teach you, which is, ma onish asalamato kelamala, just like by the punishment, they made the mato, they made the younger generation, stepdaughters and stepgranddaughters, kilamalo, like the case of mother-in-law, which is subject to sreifa. So too, af ba'azhara, so too by the warnings, nami ase lamalo kilamato, make the older generations like the younger generations. The younger generations, we know there are three generations of restriction. So too, by the older generations, there'll be three levels or three dorot of restrictions, which means Ishta, one, mother-in-law is two, and mother and father-in-law is the third generation. In that way, Abai now gives a viable way to read the Braita, although, as she notes over here, he does flip the language of the Mata Lamala in the Braita, which is now the way that you would read the Braita. Is Minayim Lasot, Lamala Kilamata. How do we know to make the three generations above like the three generations below? Nemer Gan Zima, Nemer Lalan Zima. It says Zima here and says Zima there. Malalan lamato kilamalo. Just like over there, the younger generations are like the older generations. Afkan lamalo kilamato. So to over here, you're going to put the upper generations like the lower generations.
Makan lamato kilamalo. And it works in a bilateral way, which is, just like over here, you learn the punishment for the younger generation from the older generations. After Allah, and so too over there, lamalo, you'll learn the older generations from the longer generations to teach you that there is an azara or there is a restriction. And that'd be a way to read the braita according to Abaye. Ravashi amar, Ravashi offers an alternative explanation of that part of the braita, which is, golam kidiktani. Don't flip the malo and the mato, but you misunderstood the words, the malo and the mato. Until now, we understood the malo to mean older generations, and the mato to mean younger generations. Ravashi offers an alternative. My lamato, the mato be isur. The malo and the mato is not about older or younger generations, but rather about the severity of the restriction. Now, that is, the more severe the restriction, that's called the malo. The less severe the restriction, that's called the mato. And so now, the good way to read the bright is, minayin lasot, the mato, the one that is lighter in isur, kilamala, like the more chamur in isur. And again, the question is addressing what we said before. You have chamuto, you have mother-in-law mentioned in the Torah, which is the closer of kin and the more chamur isur. How do I know about the mala? How do I know about aim chamuto and aim chamiv, that they are also restricted, which is the lower or the lesser of the restrictions? And so that's, how do you know? Minayin lasot the mato, the lower restriction, which is aim chamiv and aim chamuto, kilamala, like the more severe restriction, which is the mother-in-law. And then the braita goes on to say, mala el, just like over there, asal mato kilamala, it made the lower isur like the higher isur, which means step-granddaughters, which are the low isur, are just like the higher or the more severe isur of the stepdaughter. Afkan, so do over here. Asay lamato, make the lower isur, which is im chamudo and im chamiv, kilamalo, like the more severe isur, which is mother-in-law. Nemer gan zima, v'nemer la'alan zima. It says zima here and says zima there. And from that way, Ravashi learns out, im chamiv im chamuto, saying that just like in the younger generations, where the stepdaughter and stepgranddaughters have the same din, which is that the less severe or less related individuals, those are the stepgranddaughters, are restricted just like the stepdaughter, who is the mala, who is a higher isur. So too, when you go in the other direction, you go up to the parents' side, we'll say the same thing. Just like the mother-in-law is restricted, so too the less severe, which is the mother of the mother-in-law, mother of the father-in-law, will also be restricted. That is the way the Ravashi learns that first part of the Braita. The next lines in the Braita, he learns like a Baye, which is, Uma Onish Asalamato Kilamalo, Afba Zara Nami Asalamalo Kilamato. That just like we learned punishment from Lamata, here Lamata will mean the younger generations, Kelamala, from the older generations, from mother-in-law, we learned Sreifa too, the younger generations to stepdaughter and stepgranddaughter. Apazara, so too when it comes to Yasara, Asay Lamala, make the older generations like the Mata, like the younger generations. Just like the younger generations have two steps down from the woman, three generations, so too, the Yasara will have application in the generations that are above the woman, and then mother-in-law, and then mother-in-law, and mother of father-in-law, and now the same din. So he only rereads Ravashi, the first section of that part of the Braita, he just rereads what the Malo Lamata is there, but in the remainder of that part of the Braita, he reads it like Abaye. So obviously the difficulty in Ravashi's interpretation is that he gives two different definitions to the Mato Lamalo. The first piece where the Braita mentions the Malo Lamata, he's saying that means more severe is Lamalo, and Lamata means less severe restriction, or Lamala means further away, less related, and Lamata means more closely related. And that's why he reads it. But then the second piece after that, he reads it like Abaye, which is Lamala means the generations above, and Lamata means the younger generations, the generations below. So he has two different interpretations of the word Lamala, Lamata, in a braita that only uses the term Lamala, Lamata without ever defining them. And that's the weakness in Ravashi's pshat. The strength in Ravashi's pshat is that he doesn't have to change the braita at all. He doesn't have to amend the language of the braita. The other hand, Abaye's explanation is stronger in that it treats lamata and lamalo the same in both instances. The weakness is that he has to flip around lamalo and lamata to make sense of that first part of the braita.
Right now the Gemara continues with a question. This question, and then tomorrow's daf also introduce a question based on what we've learned so far, and then they have to deal with why is this not true? Which is the following question. Ima hi emima asura, avhu emimo asura. If you're going to learn this, that three generations up, meaning towards the older generations, is problematic, that means if he's married to the woman, who's the first generation, the second generation up, which is his mother-in-law, is off-limits, third generation up is also off-limits, which is the mother of mother-in-law, or mother of father-in-law. Then let's say the same thing applies to him. His mother is obviously off-limits, but let's say that his grandmother, his maternal grandmother, is off-limits. We know that maternal grandmother is shniot arayot, is only restricted midrabanan. But based on what you're saying now, if you have three generations down, three generations up, why don't you say that the three generations up apply to him as well? And that would mean that his mother and his maternal grandmother would also be restricted. His mother, yes, but his maternal grandmother, we don't have such a restriction. And the Gemara wants to know why, based on the logic that you've now presented. So Abaye has a very simple answer to deal with this problem. And is that the word imcha, please? So Abaye says, the pasuk says, ervata vicha, ervati imcha lo tigale, imcha hi lo tigale ervata. And so Abaye says, it says imcha hi, that's a miut. Amar Abaye, makra imcha hi, mishum imo, ata mechaivo, v'yata mechaivo, mishum imo. The Torah gives an exclusive term that tells you you're only restricted with regards to your mother, you're not restricted with regards to your maternal grandmother. So Abaye acknowledges, enoch anami, you could have had that limud. The problem is that the Torah has a miut that says that you can't do that. And that's why it remains a shnia mitivrei sofrim and not an iser deoraita. Rava Amar, Rava says it's a different way to tell you why we don't do this. Ben lamad amar domina umina. Both for the one who says when you learn from something, you learn from it. Ben lamad amar domina v'uki beatro. Or both the other one who says that you take it from wherever it is, and then you make it relevant locally. Lo atche, you can't have it come out. Lamanda mar domina umina. According to the one who says domina umina. These are principles of limud. So for instance, over here, we have a gzeira shava. The gzeira shava is, how do we know what the punishment is in certain circumstances? Well, we did before, we showed that there was a gzeira shava of zima, zima. By the zima, it says isha v'ima. And then we said that by bita, bat bena ubat bita, there we didn't have a punishment mentioned, but we had the word zima. Gzeret shova teaches us that you get the punishment of srefa. So that's how we know the restriction of srefa. Also, when it comes to his mother, and when it comes to his mother's mother, what is the punishment? So by his mother, it's explicit in the Torah that it is skila. So when an individual has somebody that is related to him, then that individual is subject to a punishment of skila. If the relationship is through the marriage, through his wife, then the punishment is sreifa. So for instance, in a case which we just mentioned now, the case of mother-in-law and mother of mother-in-law and daughter, all of those are subject to the punishment of sreifa. So now, if you learn domina umina, which means when you learn the gzeir shava, you learn the gzeir shava of sreifa from isha v'ima, and when you apply that gzeir shava, you're going to apply it exactly the way you learned it from. That means sreifa across the board. So if you're going to learn out sreifa to a daughter, and to a mother-in-law, and to a mother of a mother-in-law, all of those are going to be subject to sreifa, then you're also going to have to apply it similarly to a maternal grandmother. To the mother of one's mother, then you also have to say sreifa, because the limud is coming from here. You're saying just like there are three generations above on his wife's side, so too there should be three generations above on his side. Well, the three generations above on his wife's side are all subject to sreifa. So too, over here, his maternal grandmother should be subject to sreifa. Okay, that's according to one who says, don mina umina. That when you learn something, you have to learn it in its entirety. That means it's just like you learn sreifa by the mother of the mother-in-law, you have to say sreifa by the mother of his mother, his maternal grandmother. So now the problem, and this is what Rava notes, is that limud will fail. Just like the mother of his mother-in-law is off limits, avunami emi mo asura.
So too, his mother of his mother, his maternal grandmother, is off limits. Umina. And you're going to learn from it the punishment as well. Mahi bisreifa. Just like the case of the mother of the mother-in-law is sreifa. Afunami bisreifa. So too, the mother of his mother will be subject to sreifa. Now the man of sreifa chamura, according to the one, Rabbi Shimon, who says sreifa is a more severe punishment than skila, ikalamifrach. Now you have something that's totally counterintuitive. Malahi shikeni ma bisreifa. In the case where it's her mother is subject to sreifa, tomar behu shimo biskila, you're going to learn from her mother, his mother-in-law, to his biological mother. How could you do that? How could you have a limud that starts from the more chamor and comes over to the more kal? Sreifa is more chamor. That means mother-in-law is subject to sreifa, and you want to learn from mother-in-law to mother. The mother only has a punishment of skila. That's not a limud that is viable because you're learning something that's chamor to something that's kal. Well, if you say that mother-in-law is more chamor, maybe that's the reason why mother and mother-in-law is also restricted. So how can you learn from that to say that a mother of a mother, maternal grandmother, is restricted? Maybe because it's a less severe punishment, it also has less generations involved. That's one problem. But imo b'skila, imo b'sreifa. It's also counterintuitive from this perspective. Consorting with his mother will be subject to skila, which is the less severe punishment. Consorting with the grandmother, the mother of the mother, is going to be subject to sreifa, which is a more severe punishment. Someone who's a closer of kin should be a more severe punishment. Now you're working in reverse. The mother who's the closest of kin is only subject to skila, whereas the mother of the mother is subject to sreifa, more severe punishment, according to Rabbi Shimon. Ve'od, mahi lo chalakta ba ben ima le'imima, avunami lo tachalok ben imo le'imimo. And an additional way to break it up is to say this, just like by the relatives of his wife, there's no difference between the mother-in-law and the mother of the mother-in-law. They're both subject to sreifa. So to over here, why should there be a distinction? The way you're learning it now, the mother is going to be subject to skila. The mother of the mother, the maternal grandmother, will be subject to sreifa. Then the parallel doesn't work. Over by his wife's relatives, everybody gets the same punishment. Over here, all of a sudden, there are different punishments. So those are three questions that would undermine the possible limud to Amy Mo, to his mother's mother, according to number one, the one who says, don mina u mina, from the one who says that you learn, when you learn how to gzeir shelva, or you learn a limud, not only do you learn the fact, you also learn the punishment along with it. And according to the one who says that sreifa is more chamor, we just had three questions which would undermine that limud, and that's why you don't have Amy Mo being restricted, because you can't make that limud. Lamanda Meir skila chamura. According to the Chachamim, who think that skila is more chamor, my kushya lo nidona. From that question, this one question, you will not learn it out. So according to the one who says skila is more chamor, the last of the three questions is relevant. The first two are particular to the relationship between skila and sreifa, but the last one is just about order, which is you have to have parallel structures. If by mother-in-law and mother and mother-in-law, they get the same punishment, the same should be true here by mother and mother and mother. But that won't work out that way because mother is going to be subject to skila and mother-in-law will be subject to sreifa. Yes, it's the right order now because skila is more chamor and the mother is subject to skila and the grandmother is subject to sreifa. But nevertheless, it's not parallel to what you're learning from, which is the family of the wife. Where there it's sreifa for mother-in-law and sreifa for mother and mother-in-law, same punishment. So to over here by his mother and mother of mother, it should have the same punishment, which would not be the case. So the manda amar, and then according to the one who says, domina vuki bi'atra, that you learn from the location, but then you make it locally relevant. So what we would say over here is, just like the mother of the mother-in-law is restricted, so too the mother of his mother should be restricted. The mother of the mother-in-law is subject to sreifa. No, we're going to make it locally relevant, which is skila. Mother is subject to skila. Mother of mother, maternal grandmother should also be subject to skila. Mahi, emi ma asura. Afu, nami, emi mo asura. Just like for her, the mother of the mother-in-law is restricted. I mean, the marriage, the erva through marriage. So too, his erva, which is his mother, should also include the mother of the mother or the maternal grandmother. Buki ba'atra. But then you'll make it locally relevant and say, hatamu de bisreifa, abahacha biskila. Over there, mother and mother-in-law get sreifa, but over here in this lineage, when it comes to his mother of his mother, they should all be subject to skila, because that's the locally relevant punishment. Kedash chan b'imo. Just like by the mother it's skila, so too the mother of the mother should be skila. So the man amar sreifa chamura ikon mifra. According to the one who says that sreifa is more chamur, you could undermine this limud. Malahish keni ma b'sreifa. Tumar b'ho shimo b'skila. How could you have a limud from sreifa to skila? Again, if sreifa is more chamur, maybe the reason there's an extra generation of restriction by his wife's relatives of mother-in-law and mother-in-law's, because they had the more severe punishment of sreifa. His mother, which is only subject to skila, which is a lighter form of punishment, maybe there should be no extra generation. Mother of mother should not be included. Vo'od, hu, kihi. It should, he should be just like her. Mahi, lo chalakta ba ben bita la'emima. By her, where you made no difference between her daughter and the mother-in-law's mother and her grandmother. So on that side of the ledger, when it comes to marriage, when you marry this woman, her stepdaughter and her step-granddaughters are all subject to sreifa. Her mother, being the mother-in-law, and her mother's mother, the mother of the mother-in-law, are all subject to sreifa, straight down the line. Avu lo tachlok bo ben bito le'emimo. So too, by him, you shouldn't differentiate between his daughter and his mother's mother, his maternal grandmother. The problem is that now you're saying there is a difference, because his daughter is punished by sreifa, whereas his mother's mother will be punished by skila. By her, you saw that her grandmother, or his mother of the mother-in-law, has the same din as the stepdaughter. That's not going to work out over here. The daughter is not going to have the same din as the maternal grandmother. The daughter here is going to be subject to sreifa, whereas the maternal grandmother is going to be subject to skila. And that won't work. Olamanda amar skila chamura. And for the one who says that skila is chamura, is more stringent, my kushya lo nidona. From this reason, I mean, the latter question will also be a question according to that view, because the question of learning the limud to start with is not a problem, because if by sreifa they included an additional generation, which is a lower form of punishment, certainly by skila they should add in an extra generation of punishment, and eimimo should have been included. But the question that we have now, which is the parallel structure, should have been in place. And just like by his wife's relatives, the daughter of his wife, the stepdaughter, has the same din as the grandmother of his wife, his mother-in-law's mother, so too by him himself, his daughter and his maternal grandmother should have the same punishment. That won't work out here, because based on the limud of Don Minavu Kibiatra, you would have his mom's mom be subject to skila, and not the sreifa that is associated with his daughter. All right, we're going to stop here. Five lines down on the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to continue tomorrow along these lines, and then ask why we didn't have other limudim that could have been derived from this, and then we'll go through a similar procedure that we did today to undermine those limudim.